Scripture this morning is from Psalms 146, 5 through 10. Blessed are those who help is the Lord, is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
Good morning. It is my honor and privilege to speak to you this morning about something that is really near and dear to my heart. And if you happen to have glanced at all at the organ, perhaps you can guess what it is. This is my oldest angel, and perhaps the best loved, because it was made by my youngest son when he was 5, and that was in 1978. This angel has hung on our Christmas tree every year since. Yeah, not as beautiful as some, but oh, so special. My 60-year love of angels and fascination with God's angels was something I shared with both my grandmother, Ronnie, and with my dad. I didn't share that much with my dad because his loves in life were sports, especially football, hockey, and fishing, and my 4 brothers. My loves were music, theater, and reading. But angels and our belief in them was a shared bond. God's timing of things has always been another area of interest to me. Many of you have heard me say, God's timing is perfect. When Vicki emailed me 10 days ago and asked if I could be ready to talk this morning on angels, my first thought was, no way. I could never be ready in time. But then the date struck me. Today is my dad's birthday. If he had still been alive, he would be 95, which is much, much, much older than Bill, who has a birthday today. Congratulations, Bill. God bless on your birthday. Then I realized that the Christmas season is a perfect time to talk about angels. And of course, my next thought was, wow, how perfect is that? When I first began researching and writing, I thought there might not be enough information available. When Dale timed my first draft, it was 35 minutes. Fortunately for you, Dale's the only one that had to suffer through that version. You'll be relieved to know that I've cut it almost in half. And so I'm going to share with you what I've learned about angels over the last 60 years and the last 10 days. My dad and I were in the kitchen one night when I was about 8, and my mom had just left for a rehearsal. My dad told me that he and Ronnie used to worry about my mom, but they don't so much anymore. Getting behind the wheel of a car was a brutal thing for my mother to try and do. He told me Ronnie prays that God will send an angel. He told me he prays for a legion of angels to move the other drivers and the cars out of my mom's way. One day, Dale was driven home from Calgary by my mom. He told me later he would never, ever drive with her again. She had no concept of stop, yield, merge, orange lights, or speed limits. He thought for sure they would be killed when she came to a complete stop on the driving lane of the QE2 so that she could signal a safe turn onto the ramp of the South Carstairs overpass. He said cars just seemed to flow around her car. I told him this was evidence that God's legion was hard at work moving other cars out of the way. It would only have taken one distracted driver to have caused a horrendous accident. Mom drove till she had a stroke at 78, and to our knowledge, she was never in or caused an accident. I think the angels did a wonderful job of keeping both my mom and all other drivers safe. Ronnie was very Catholic, and as such, she was a huge believer in angels, especially guardian angels. As I spent about 60% of my life between the ages of 3 and 11 living with Ronnie, her love of and belief in guardian angels has rubbed off. Catholics believe, and I'm quoting, "Everyone has a guardian angel that has been divinely assigned to them for their entire lifetime. Their love is unconditional and bigger than anything on earth, and they make sure that you are safe and guarded always. Angels are filled with pure love, so they're rooting for you to choose what's best and standing by, ready to help you when you need encouragement." Have you ever stood on the brink of making a bad decision and for what seems to be no apparent reason, change your mind? Have you ever experienced a near tragedy that somehow is averted? Or an opportune door that seems to open at just the right moment? Maybe your guardian angel is working harder than you are aware. Does the Bible confirm that we have guardian angels? In Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven will always see the face of my Father in heaven." And Psalm 91:11 says, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." My favorite Christian song has a verse that goes, "For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hand they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." The Bible tells us that angels are created beings. They were created to be angels. They are not people who have become angels. Like the rest of creation, they were made by God to glorify and praise him. But unlike the rest of creation, they are immortal. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." God's angels live in heaven with God. Again, the Bible gives us several occasions where Jesus refers to angels as belonging to God and in heaven. In Luke 12:8, we read, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." And again in Luke 15:10, we read, "In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." We also know that there are lots and lots of angels. Jesus himself says in Matthew 26:53, after Peter had cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest when in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Do you not think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" In the last book of the Bible, Revelation 5:11, John says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. Artists through the century have painted angels, often with wings. In Psalm 104:4, it states that God makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. In most appearances of angels in the Bible, no physical description is given. People had no trouble in recognizing that the visitors they saw were angels, so there must be something very special about them. When they are described in the Bible, it's as tall young men with shining faces wearing simple robes. There is no mention of any wings. But somehow, I don't think God minds that we have these images of beautiful figures with wings. After all, how, when we are watching a nativity pageant, would we know who some of the children were if they didn't have wings and halos? Depending on the version of the Bible you look at, there are between 250 and 295 references to angels. There are 116 references to them in the Old Testament, and they are mentioned in 34 of the books of the Bible. One of my favorite verses Alan just read from Hebrews 13. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Sometimes in the Bible, angels would appear alone or in pairs, and at other times in multitudes. In the Christmas story, as told by Luke, we know that at first only one angel appeared to the shepherd, telling them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then Luke says, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Throughout the Bible, we are told that angels have many roles, including being God's messengers, being God's holy warriors, praising and worshiping God, and as already mentioned, being guardian angels, meaning that they protect and direct people on behalf of God. The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, meaning messenger, so it isn't surprising that many, many times God chose angels to take his message to people. One significant time that angels were God's messenger is in the time that we are in now, Advent and the holy season of Christmas. The job of telling Mary that she would have a special baby went to God's chief messenger, the angel Gabriel, whose name means God's hero. We read in Luke 1 that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Gabriel tells her that she has been chosen to be the mother of a son who will be called Jesus, and that the child would be conceived by the Holy Spirit and would be known as the Son of God. When Joseph found out Mary was expecting, his first reaction was to divorce her quietly. But Matthew tells us in chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Matthew goes on to say, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. God sent his messenger one last time during the Christmas season. In Luke 2:13, we read, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." One of the interesting facts I learned when doing the research about God's angels when they deliver God's message is that it often starts with the words, "Do not be afraid." Perhaps this is God's way to help us mortals who no doubt at first would be quite terrified at the appearance of an angel. At least as much as I want to see one, I know I would be. Another important message an angel delivered was at Christ's tomb, when he announced that Christ had risen. Matthew tells us that an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." There are other examples in which the messengers serve. King Nebuchadnezzar says an angel protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being consumed in the fiery furnace. Daniel tells the king that God sent an angel to keep him safe in the lion's den. Good messengers ministered to Elijah when he was on the run and to Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. Like all messengers, the angels don't always bring good news. Sometimes it is messages of warning, telling of judgments, and on occasion, even carrying out those judgments. In the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, two angels appeared to warn Lot and his family of the judgment on and the destruction of the cities. And they helped them escape. This story also gives us a warning about looking back on what might have been. And that ties in with a lesson Ronnie taught me when I was young. God always opens a window when he closes a door. Just don't spend so much time looking at the closed door. You miss the open window. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, features lots of angels who are seen carrying out God's judgment on his behalf. These passages show that angels are powerful, spiritual creatures, very capable of fulfilling another of God's roles, God's mighty warriors. The archangel Michael, whose name means "who is like God," is the warrior angel. In Revelation 12:7, we read, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." Michael is sometimes pictured in art wearing medieval armor, showing that he is a warrior. According to the research that I did, the warrior angels are known as the powers or the authorities. God has given them great spiritual powers to use in the fight between good and evil. Michael enlists the powers to support his work fighting evil with the great power of good. Michael, who is a seraphim as well as an archangel, acts as the commander for the heavenly military of the powers. I want to share a story with you that not only shows angels as protectors, but as warriors. Pastor John Payton, a pioneer missionary in the New Hebrides Islands, tells this story. There was a tribe on the island who was extremely hostile to the missionaries. And their hostility grew worse with every passing day. One evening, June 23rd, 1973, the Pattons sat in their little thatched house, and the sound of the war cries got louder and louder and closer, and they prayed all night long that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see the attackers had gone. They thanked God for delivering them. About a year later, the chief of that particular tribe converted, and Mr. Payton remembered the incident of the almost attack, and he asked, "Why didn't you burn down our house?" And the chief replied in surprise, "But we tried. But your warrior guards wouldn't let us past." "What guards?" John said, and the chief answered, "Hundreds of warrior guards. Big men in shiny clothes with swords drawn and with torches. They circled your hut. We had no choice, so we left." The missionary answered, "There were no men there, just my wife and I." Only then did Mr. Payton realize that God had sent his warrior angels to protect them. The role of angels that is perhaps the most important is praising and glorifying God. In Revelation 7, 11 and 12, we read, "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." In Psalm 148, we're told, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts." Now, I know you know that angels can sing, but some people find that sort of strange. But Revelation assures us, in a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb." After all God's creatures sing, some better than others, some songs more pleasant to listen to than others. But if frogs and birds and crickets and humans can sing, we should expect that angels can sing too. I want to talk briefly about angels on earth, about what children think about angels, and end with a couple of stories when angels have been present in my life and the life of my family. Look around you, and when you go home, look in the mirror. We can all be, and many of you are, angels on earth. We often refer to first responders as angels. I've heard the people who work with old folks called angels. Medical people, especially nurses, are often called angels. We have many earth angels here in this church. One cleans the snow from the parking lot magically. Another makes coffee for us every single Sunday. Many decorate our church for every season of the year. Another one makes the PowerPoint, and he and others run it every Sunday. We have actor angels willing to share their talents, and we have those earth angels who give up hours of their time to serve on our board, to serve as elders, to serve as stewards. But being an earth angel is something we can all aspire to be, listening to people when they need to talk, guiding people to God by example, lending a shoulder to cry on, giving to charity, packing the Christmas hampers, using your talents, being there when you are needed, heeding that urge that seems to come from nowhere to help or to be somewhere you weren't planning on being. We only need to listen to our hearts. I do need to tell you, however, that good people, even children, do not become angels when they die. We remain human beings, and angels, also created beings, remain angels. When doing my research, I found a list of what children have told adults about angels. The following are just a few examples. Gregory, age 5, said, "Oh gosh, I only know the names of two angels, Hark and Harold." Mitchell, age 7, said, "Oh, angels work for God and watch over kids when God has to go and do something else." Henry, age 8, said, "My guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good for science." And finally, Daniel, age 9, said, "Angels talk all the way while they are flying you up to heaven, and their main subject is where you went wrong before you got dead." One of my favorite books that I pick up from time to time is What Children Tell Me About Angels. This book is a conversation between Dr. Charles Shedd, a Presbyterian minister, and his only grandson. He says on the cover of the book, "When I began What Children Tell Me About Angels, it was obvious I'd soon need special help. So throughout this book, I will share with you the cool wisdom of my favorite and only grandson, Jared." Jared was 8 at the time the book was written. So I'm going to take the liberty of paraphrasing one of Dr. Shedd's stories. Now, all the stories in the book have either been told by children or told by an adult about something that happened to them when they were a child. This particular story is called, "Would an Angel Drive a Cadillac?" In this story is told by Tad. His father was a long-distance trucker and had to have back surgery. The company that he worked for really liked Tad's dad because he'd never had an accident. So Tad was given permission when he was about 13 to travel with his dad on a trip, and they went through West Texas. Not many towns in West Texas. And darn if they didn't have a blowout. Not on a double tire where they could have kept going, but on one of the single ones. There was no way either Thad or his dad could change it. And all of a sudden, a white Cadillac drove up, and out hopped this young man, dressed in very light beige clothes. Thad said he looked like he was going to church. He saw the problem. He instantly took off the tire, changed it, put all the tools away, and Thad said, "Do you know, there wasn't a speck of dirt on those clothes. There wasn't a speck of dirt on his hands. He knelt down, there was nothing on the knees of his trousers." So when he took off, after not telling us who he was, my dad and I thought, gee, maybe this was an angel. And then we thought, would God send an angel in a white Cadillac? So Dr. Shedd talks to his grandson, and he says, "So tell me, Jared, would an angel be driving a white Cadillac?" "Of course," Jared replied. "What other color would he drive?" "But a Cadillac? I've never owned a Cadillac." "But Grandpa, angels don't think like people, and you are a people. Maybe there was this movie star, and this particular angel helped him get an Oscar. And the actor told the angel, 'Thank you. If you ever need my help, let me know.' Well, the angel knew this movie star had just bought a brand new white Cadillac. He'd always wanted to drive a white Cadillac because they don't have white Cadillacs in heaven. So the angel thought he would have a little bit of fun and drive this Cadillac to help. But Grandpa says, 'Jarrett, that doesn't make sense.' By the time the angel knew there was an emergency and drove from Hollywood to West Texas, he could never get there on time. And Jarrett's answer, 'But Grandpa, angels work for God. God knows ahead when somebody will be needing help, so he tells his angels in plenty of time to get where they need to be.' Great, isn't it?" In our family, there have been times when angels were present. Some of you know this story, but I'm telling it again anyway. I was driving home from the U of C on a hot June afternoon when I fell asleep at the wheel. Dale was at Wipers Creek with his grade fives and was alone when he got the strangest feeling something was wrong. He prayed for help, glanced at his watch. It was 5:35. Just as my car started to go into the median after crossing two lanes of traffic and the shoulder, I woke up because someone shouted my name. I knew I was alone. The radio was off. I glanced at the clock. It was 5:35. We believe that God sent an angel at Dale's request to wake me up. Dale's dad told us that when he was young, his three-year-old sister was very, very ill. Dale's grandma was with her when she said, "Mummy, the angels have come for me. They're standing right there. I'm not afraid, Mummy. I'm going to go with them." And she died very peacefully. When Laura went to the Didsbury Hospital to celebrate her last shared birthday with her grandpa, he said to her, "Laura, do you see that beautiful bright lady in the corner? She's waiting for me to come with her. I think I'll go very soon." And he died 48 hours later. Let's try to live on earth as angels do in heaven, praising, glorifying God, protecting those we can, fighting for those who can't defend themselves, bringing God's love to all who cross our path, being a messenger of the love and the grace of God to one who is struggling is one of the roles of angels that we need to try and imitate. I would like to read this poem by Julia Moore. Angels are watching over you. God has sent his angels to gather here on earth and surround us with their presence from the moment of our birth. I believe they intercede and oftentimes appear to protect us in our time of need, guardian angels always near. So never fear what lies ahead as you travel each day through. for there are angels by your side watching over you. Angel in heaven, hear my prayer. Keep me in thy loving care. Be my guide in all I do. Bless all those who love me too. Amen.